Greetings to everyone from around the world. This is a Sunday sermon recording from Father Mike of Our Lady of the Hills Parish, here in Southwest Ohio. I am your host, Ishmael Ali, and here is Father Mike's sermon.
My brothers and sisters, the Lord be with you. A reading of the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus again in reply spoke to the chief priests and elders of the people in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be likened to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. He dispatched his servants to summon the invited guests to the feast, but they refused to come. A second time he sent other servants, saying, 'Tell those invited, behold, I prepared my banquet. My calves and fattened cattle are killed, and everything is ready. Come to the feast.' Some ignored the invitation and went away, one to his farm, another to his business. The rest laid hold of his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. And the king was enraged and sent his troops. He destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The feast is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy to come. Go out, therefore, into the main roads, and invite to the feast whomever you find.' The servants went out into the streets and gathered all they found, good and bad alike. And the hall was filled with guests." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you,
Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but when the weather gets like this, I just want to stay in bed. Wake up, Mike. I got to preach. Whoosh. Okay, I think I'm awake now. This is a hard sermon. I generally don't preach these types of sermons, but I feel compelled to do so today because there's a lot of stress in our world, a lot of stress going on right now. We have the poor people of Israel, many lost their lives due to terrorism, and of course we got Ukraine, and there is just so much anxiety, you know, in our world today. So we don't need any more stress, and I don't want you to be stressed out by what is going on now in this synod. You know, in Rome, the synod where the Pope is meeting with like 464 people, and they're discussing many, many things. They're not making any laws, but they're discussing things that are disconcerting. And of course, you know how the media is. They blow up everything, and they make it all sensational. And the media is trying to get us to believe that the church is changing its teaching, like on marriage, and also about blessing of gay unions, you know. So I'm here to tell you today, do not worry. The church teaching is not changing, okay? If you hear anything I say today, hear that. Church teaching is not changing. But what they're trying to deal with is how do we reach out with love and compassion to those who do not follow church teaching or for whatever reason are not in full communion, such as like divorced and remarried people, and the gays, and then other issues where they're not quite, which we say, in union with the teaching of the church. So with that in mind, I'm gonna do this sermon, and I start out with a story. The entire interior of St. Mary Catholic Church in Hillsborough was repainted in 2006. I chose the colors. Oh boy. Bob, seven new colors were added. You were there. Remember how the church was all gray? Ugh. But I added seven new colors that covered over the gray plaster cracked walls. The church was in such bad shape up there, the physical plant, that there was actually a big 15-foot section of plaster ready to fall down on the choir up there in the choir loft. Boy, that would look interesting in the newspaper. Choir sings off notes, killed by falling plaster. So I had these colors added. The way we did it, we added one color and then another color and another color. And I locked the church because we couldn't use it for worship anyways. We went to the hall. But I locked the church till the painting was finished, because if anyone saw the remodeling before it was complete, they would get a false picture of what the church building would look like. But guess what? People snuck in anyways. It's just like little mice. How did you get in here, you know? Bob, did you sneak in, you and Joyce? I know, you wouldn't do that. But people would sneak in, and they were looking at the progress of the painting. And I remember my wonderful friend Henry Burwinkle. He came into the church. He snuck in. And, oh, he complained loudly to me, and often, because when he came in, all the pink colors were being painted. And he said, "Father Mike, our church looks like a nursery for a newborn baby girl." I said, "Henry, hang in there. We're not done. We're not done." And I implored the people, don't judge the repainting until it is finished. When that day came, the doors were open and people were in awe of its beauty. Isn't the church beautiful, Bob? It really is. It never looked so good. In fact, the man who was upset with me and yelling at me, he said, "I have been here all my life. I have never seen the church look so good." And you know that man, Henry, my friend, gave tours. He gave tours of the church. He was so proud of the work that was done. So I mention this story because don't judge this synod that's going on right now to the end of October until it is finished. Don't judge it yet. Now, Pope Francis, as I said, right now, even as I speak, is presiding over this huge meeting, 464 church leaders around the world, and they are listening and discussing how the Catholic Church can be a, quote, medicine of mercy rather than of severity, unquote. That was from Pope St. John 23rd. And a church that blesses and encourages, that helps those who seek the Lord. That's Pope Francis I. So that's what they're looking at. But they're wrestling with a problem. Here's the problem. How can the church reach out with mercy and welcome those who do not follow the church teaching for whatever reason? Specifically, how can the church be more welcoming to gays who seek Jesus but are doing acts that the church says are sinful? Now, I believe the Pope is solving this problem in this way, and he's using a time-honored method that was even advocated by Pope St. John Paul II and Jesus himself. What the Pope is doing, what he wants to do, and they're discussing this, is to separate the person from the sin. You separate the person from the sin. So the church teaching on the sin doesn't change. There are certain acts that are sinful, according to the church. Pope Francis this year was quoted as saying, "Well, it's not a crime, but yes, it is a sin," as he referred to homosexuality. The acts of that. And there is no way, I'm telling you right now, there is no way that the church will ever bless same-sex marriage nor same-sex unions. Those unions will not be blessed by the church, because how can you bless sin? Do you see what I'm saying? How can you bless sin? But Pope Francis recognizes that gay people are also children of God, and God loves them too. And the Pope said, we cannot be judges who only deny, push back, and exclude these people. The mercy of God is offered to all. You know, if I, as your pastor, started throwing out of church everyone who is a sinner or does not follow church teaching, if I did that, you all would be thrown out. And the only one left would be Jim Weber. You'd be the only one left. And after I talked to Kim Weber, I'd throw you out too. Let the church say amen. But you see, the church, we do not throw people out. We welcome, like Jesus, all people, to the mercy and love of God. The Pope's approach is you can bless the person, but not the sin. That's his approach, that the Pope wants to bless souls, not the acts. And by blessing the person and not the sin is not new. Jesus did that himself. He did that himself. I'll give you an example. Jesus the Lord himself, the greatest example is what happened at the crucifixion. You know that good thief that was crucified on the right side of Jesus? We call him the good thief. He wasn't good. He was a murderer. In order to rob, in those days, you took a big rock and then you snuck from behind and you hit them on the head and you killed them with the rock. Remember, there's no guns, okay? So they would kill that person or maim the person with a rock and then they would steal the money. The good thief was a murderer. He killed probably women, and I'm sure he also killed children. That's pretty bad, isn't it? He was bad. He was not good by his acts. His acts were not good. But what does Jesus say? From Luke 23:43, Jesus looks at this man who did horrible deeds, and he says, truly, I tell you today, you will be with me in paradise. Whoa. That doesn't seem fair, does it? I mean, sometimes I wish, well, maybe his little pinky, at least if that just fall off or something, or his pinky toe, you know, some punishment. No, this day, you will be with me in heaven. Jesus saw something in the robber's soul, in the person of the robber, that merited paradise despite his many heinous acts. You see what Jesus did? He separated the person from the sin. And he even gave him heaven. Geez, there's hope for all of us, I guess. You know? Once again, we see Jesus blessing the soul, not the act of sin. Here's another one. Ready for a second example? You ready for this, Linda? Here we go. Right after Jesus called Matthew, the guy who wrote this gospel today, then Jesus dined at Matthew's house. Matthew was a big sinner. Remember, tax collector. He stole money. He made people poor so that he could be enriched. And Matthew 9:10-13 says, while Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came, and they ate with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? On hearing this, Jesus said, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners. Here we see Jesus blessing with mercy these persons rejected by society, such as gay people are today, by dining with them. Wow. I mean, to be with these, he sat with them, he talked with them, he ate with them. He did not exclude them. He did not deny them. He did not reject them. Jesus reached out to them with love, offering them mercy. That's what our church has today, has to do. Our church has to do this today. That's what Pope John the 23rd said. That's what Pope John Paul II said. And that's what Pope Francis is saying. You know, I was talking with Linda here, and we were talking about someone else who said, it's amazing how we want mercy for ourselves and justice for everyone else. Isn't that true? We said that while I was eating my eggs at breakfast with you. It's true. I want mercy, God, but not for that one. I want justice. Doesn't work that way, folks. It doesn't work that way. Pope Francis is urging right now. He's saying, please, Catholics, be calm. Be calm. Do not worry. The church teaching is not changing. The purpose of the synod is not to change church teaching on marriage or allow blessings on gay unions. And the church is also reaching out with love and compassion to divorced and remarried people. You know, you're part of the church too. You should be with us. You are not being rejected. How many people get divorced and remarried and then all of a sudden they have like the scarlet A on their chest and they're judged and considered unworthy of God? No one has the right to judge anyone's salvation or their worthiness of going to heaven. Only one person can do that, and that's God. That's God. That's Jesus. And if we make those judgments, that's blasphemy, because we're assuming something that is only of the power of God. We don't have that power. I'll tell you this. I know I'm a sinner. I am never worthy to say a mass for you. I know my sins. And when I die and I go and see Jesus, the first thing I'm going to do is get down on my knees and I'm going to say, Lord, just be merciful to me, a sinner. I'm not even going to ask him to take me to heaven. Just be merciful to me. And then the Lord will say, okay, Mike, you're humble. I give you my mercy. You can get up now. And then I'll say, Lord, I can't get up. You're going to have to help me. When you have two new knees, a titanium, it's hard to get up from the kneeling position. I'm worth more dead than alive. Got about $200,000 of titanium in me. But that's all I'm going to do. I'm just, you know, just going to keep my head down, be merciful to me, a sinner. Remember the Pharisee and the publican? Remember the Pharisees up front? Oh, I'm so good. I tithe. I do all the laws of the church. And the Pharisees, or pardon me, the publicans in the back, Lord, just forgive me, a sinner. Jesus said that publican went home justified. That means right with God. So, my brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you today, the church exists as a hospital for wounded souls, not a museum for hallowed saints. You know, we're not a museum. We're a hospital that's a triage. We take souls that come in here who are wounded by the sins, whatever they're committing, and by the troubles they have, and by the pain they endure in their souls, and we put on them the balm, the healing salve of mercy. I close with this beautiful depiction of God's mercy from St. Faustina. St. Faustina, she had that vision, which is right up there on our wall, of Jesus where the rays are coming out of his heart. And St. Faustina wrote this in her diary. One thing alone is necessary, that the sinner set ajar the door of his heart, be it ever so little, to let in a ray of God's merciful grace, and then God will do the rest. Amen. God bless you all. I'm glad that the Pope has finally decided
to put a gag order. He's put a gag order on the Senate because stuff's coming out. And then the media is just sensationalizing everything. Kim Webber just, you know, blown it out of proportion, saying things we're going to do that we're not going to do. So just be at peace, my brothers and sisters. Church teaching is not going to change on its beliefs in marriage and divorce and also with our gay brethren. It's not going to change as far as the teaching. But what will change is the welcoming, the giving them God's love and mercy, and acknowledging them also as children of God. Name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
This recording of Father Mike's sermon was produced and edited by me, Ish Ali. The intro music is Amazing Grace, sung by LaGrave Avenue CRC of Grand Rapids, Michigan. Thank you to Father Mike for a great sermon. Previous recordings of Father Mike's sermons can be found at stmaryhillsboro.org. That's S-A-I-N-T, maryhillsboro.org, and on the St. Mary Hillsboro YouTube channel. If you enjoyed this program, please donate and help sponsor future sermon recordings. You can send checks to St. Mary Catholic Church, 212 South High Street, Hillsboro, Ohio, 45133. All donations are tax deductible and greatly appreciated. Thank you for listening.